Happy Monday, everybody. Thanks so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for the last Monday episode of 2019. Can you believe it? Time has flown this year, but hopefully you've had a good time enjoying the shows, and we'll continue those rolling right into 2020, starting on Wednesday. Today, we are heading up to New York City with listener Marlessa. I know she's friends with a lot of you on the Lizards page. She's in our Disney community, on the podcast community, all over the place. We're going to talk about her trip from November 2018, staying at Riverside, taking her boyfriend for the first time. We talk about meals at Jico and Flying Fish. Great times in the studios, battling the rain, but some fun stories nonetheless. I think you're going to really enjoy today's show. Don't forget, today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. So if you want to save up to 4 hours in line each day of your Disney vacation, they have the tools to make that happen. Check them out today over at touringplans.com. Also, please, when you do that online shopping, use our Amazon affiliate link. Bookmark it. Use it often. You're going to get all your Prime benefits. Cost you nothing extra. Please use it often. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1583 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Happy last Monday of 2019. That's right. We're getting ready to bring in 2020 in just a couple days. So hopefully you're having a great holiday week. I know a lot of people do take off this week and kind of enjoy it. If you're out at work like I am, hey, hang in there. We can still have some fun. No problem. We're going to talk Disney, so it can't be that bad. And we're going to take out 2019 the right way with some fun Disney talk. So joining me today, I'm so glad to have her. She is definitely a huge part of the Be Our Guest podcast family. Always in there with us in the live chat. And I've been saying her name wrong for years, and I so apologize for that. So we're going to get it right here, right off the top. Marlessa, how are you doing today? She's out in New York. What's going on?
I'm doing great. Had some snow earlier today, but, you know, it's all good. Excited for Christmas, Star Wars this weekend, and excited to talk Disney with you.
Oh, my gosh. I know that as this show comes out, you know, we've already had Christmas, and we've had, you know, Rise of Skywalker and all that stuff, but the day we're recording is the day before Rise of Skywalker comes out, and the episode 7 of The Mandalorian came out. You haven't seen it yet. I saw it. It almost knocked me off the treadmill, and I didn't know it's like a two-part finale. I didn't keep up with that stuff. I didn't know it. So I'm like, I wasn't prepared for what happened on the treadmill as I was watching The Mandalorian and I'm walking. So just saying, Star Wars year, it's a good close to 2019. And who knows? I mean, Star Wars fans, what's 2020 and beyond going to hold? What do you think? I mean, you're a Star Wars fan. What do you think's the future?
Well, I know that they're supposed to be developing some trilogies. Like, I think Rian Johnson's still doing one about different time periods in Star Wars. Because I'm a nerd with Star Wars even before Disney owned it, the back of the extended universe. But I'm excited to kind of explore other areas of the universe. Like, I love the Skywalker family, but The Mandalorian's been great, you know, just to see other areas of the galaxy, you know, and kind of like these adventure of a week type of story. But, you know, anything with deeper into the Jedi or Sith history would also be really interesting.
Amen. Love it. So we'll see where 2020 takes us. 48 hours till we hit the new year, but hopefully you're strapped in here for some fun Disney talk. We're going to have a trip report today for Marlessa back in 2018 in November to Riverside. But before we jump into that, I know you're a huge Star Wars fan. You're a huge Disney fan. As we've been doing here over the last few months, give us a little background. You know, what finds you listening to a Disney podcast, coming on a show today, going to the Disney destinations? What's your background with the Disney product?
Well, I love that you're asking this question because it's so fun to, I think, discuss and listen. So I've pretty much been a Disney fan since I was a child, you know, very much grew up with loving the Disney princesses like Jasmine and even Meg and like more, you know, lesser known ones. I actually only got to go to Disney World once as a kid, but completely loved it, always, you know, couldn't wait to go back. So it was really, you know, while I've always loved Disney, it was really, you know, planning, you know, I guess, quote unquote, you know, trip back as an adult, but still a kid at heart that really, I guess, reignited being super, super Disney fan and kind of fell down the fun rabbit hole of, you know, Be Our Guest podcast, joining the Lizards, reading everything I could online, and just, you know, just loving the Disney community and the great friends I've made through it.
So what do you, because I was the same way. I only got to go once as a kid and then didn't get to go back until like the end of college and see it, you know, more on the adult end of things. And, you know, now I'm going back as a family. You know, Paige was little. She's out of college. She's in grad school and in Mizzou now. And, you know, Mallory's 11. You know, she'll be 12 here in a couple of days. So I've gone through kind of all the stages. But what do you remember? Because I remember going when I was in fifth grade that one time we went for one day at the Magic Kingdom because we were just driving through for spring training heading up to Philadelphia. And, you know, I really can't even say what it was that I liked so much because I had familiarity with Six Flags. That's all we had and that's all I got to do. But everything at the Magic Kingdom just seemed so much like cleaner, so much more detailed. Like, I just remember we were in a hat shop. And like, there were just, to me as a kid, as a fifth grader, it felt like a million different kinds of hats. Where at Six Flags, you'd have 10. And the rides, instead of it being just a ride system, it was like, you know, there was a story, there was a building around it, there were props. I remember those feelings, but is there anything like looking back on that very first trip as a kid that you remember that really sticks out for you?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with the feelings, and it's definitely something that I tell people that are going to Disney for the first time that, you know, like, I love thrill rides, I love dark rides, but with Disney, it's so special that, you know, the queue is a story, you know, walking around is a story. I definitely meeting the characters was really great. When I was a kid, we stayed at the Contemporary, great first resort.
No kidding.
Haven't gotten to go back there yet in terms of money, but one day I'll go back there to stay there. But yeah, so just, I think, you know, meeting Mickey at Chef Mickey's, and I think just like really having that magic as a child. And one actually quick random thing that I do remember is because I do have a rare name, I just, like, all the princesses, when they signed my autograph book as a kid, they all spelled it correctly, and I didn't know how, so I kind of thought, oh my god, there must be magic here, like, somehow they know exactly how to spell my name, and like, I didn't tell them I wasn't wearing, you know, a Hey, I'm Arlesa name tag. They just knew, and I just that meant a lot to me as a kid.
That's so cool. Yeah, it is. It's, I mean, it's Disney magic. That's, we know that as adults now. It just takes a while to figure it all out. Now, so when you went down, though, as a kid and you kind of grew up with it, what made you decide to go back for this trip we're going to talk about in, you know, late 2018? You went down with your boyfriend, stayed at Riverside. We're going to dive into all that. But why then? Like, what was it you finally, I mean, I know sometimes it's just practical reasons. Sometimes you finally get a job where, you know, Disney's not cheap, where you can actually save up enough money. Cause you know, if you're working at the roller skating rink, you're not going to be going to Disney, but if you get a job teaching, you know, maybe after 3 years, you'll have enough money to go stay at a moderate, you know, it's just kind of how life is. But what really made this trip kind of come together for you?
I know I always wanted to go back, but I think honestly, and he knows this story, but like my boyfriend and I were just like at a beach somewhere in New Jersey in like 2017, and cause I never really thought he'd want to go to Disney first. I don't really know why, I just never really knew if he'd be into it. And but I had mentioned it a few times, I guess, in passing, and just you know, he just kind of, something about that trip and going to the beach, I don't know what the connection was for him. He's like, hey, you know what, our next trip, like, we should really go to Disney World, like, you know, don't they have really great themed resorts? And I was like, where? Are you serious? You want to go to Disney World? He's like, yeah. So then I was like, okay, that's all. You know, jump on the, you know, planning, research, wagon, and all that. And yeah, so it was just kind of like a timing thing. It was kind of funny that he was the one that brought it up, because again, like, I kind of, I guess, assumed he wouldn't be super into it. So I think the fact that, you know, he brought it up made me think, you know what, maybe it is time that I go back home, as we Disney fans like to call it. And yeah, so then, you know, just began planning super early, as we Disney fans do. I knew we wanted to go in 2018, and so settled on November and took it from there for the early stages.
So what do you remember as far as like planning and prepping and getting ready? Because, you know, you obviously listen to podcasts, you read the websites and all that stuff. You know that there's a ton you can do to set yourself up for success. You don't have to necessarily do everything. You you can wing things and still have a great time, but you're kind of setting yourself up for more success with more planning. And I think for folks like us and folks tuned in today here on a Monday, we enjoy the planning. That's, you know, sometimes half of the fun of the Disney trips before we arrive. So what was that like before you guys went down? Did you guys talk about it a lot? Did you share books, websites, stuff like that?
Yeah. So I'm, you know, definitely very much like a planner type. So love, you know, that aspect, like you were saying, of, you know, making the spreadsheets and listening to all the podcasts and joining the Facebook groups and all that. And I also, you know, as I was doing my research and talking with him, just trying to think of certain decisions that, you know, like what do we definitely want to do versus what would be nice to do. And also trying to have a good pace. Like I knew that, you know, it would probably be good for us to have a rest day, like a non-park day. And because we were at Riverside, you know, Disney Springs was kind of, you know, part of our rest day. I don't know how popular this is. I know a lot of people like park hopper, but I decided that, you know, we would not do the park hopper because I felt that since it was his first time ever going and my first time in a while, it would be nice to kind of just enjoy each park, you know? So those were, you know, a few decisions, but it definitely got overwhelming at parts of, you know, wanting to do everything, but I tried to, for the sake of my sanity, if nothing else, remember that, definitely will plan on going back in the future. And as you know, I already have a trip planned anyway, at this point. So try to keep that balance of planning and being excited, but also, you know, understanding that it's okay not to do literally everything because Disney is a big place and it would be impossible to, you know, do everything on a trip.
Yeah, that's such a smart way to look at things, especially when you're going for that first trip in forever, the first trip as an adult, because the first trip is where you really do, the temptation is there to see everything, even though you think you're going to be back and you know in your heart you're going to make this happen. We're going to come, we're going to check out another resort, we're going to come a different time of the year. I think a lot of us feel guilty if we leave and we know we didn't go on Soarin', or, you know, something as small as we didn't have that certain snack that we saw online, you know, the Tangled ice cream cone in Fantasyland. Like, oh man, I didn't do that. Yeah. You know, it's stuff like that where you can't do it all. You can't eat it all. You can't ride it all. You can't see it all. And if you go in with that kind of an attitude, and I like the way you talked about that park hopper strategy, park hopper or no, in that situation, that kind of, what that did was kind of rein things in, and it kind of does slow you down, which in a way makes your trip better because it everything's new. You're going to have a good time. If you're hopping here and there and everywhere, you're just kind of, you know, like a chicken with your head cut off.
Oh, yeah, definitely. At this point for our next trip, we're currently not having the park hopper still. I mean, and I'm sure, you know, in the future that might change, or, you know, if I'm like, but like I told you, like hopefully, you know, trying to get down for, you know, a race weekend or marathon weekend in the future, you know, park hopper might make more sense for that. But like for the longer trips, kind of for now, seems like nice to kind of just have that one park a day kind of plan.
You know what? I have the best advice for you. Just run the marathon. You get to go to all four parks in a day.
There you right? Go. The farthest I've done so far is still the 5K. I gotta get up. See, like sometimes when you post, oh man, only 12 miles, I'm like, Mike, I would kill for 12 miles to get to 12 miles.
Yeah, I'm just stupid. It's the stupid plan. I don't know. It's crazy. That's just, you know, my dad's always yelling at me. My wife's always yelling at me. I'm like, yeah, I'm just kind of like Forrest Gump. I just go until I stop, and then I stop, and I go back in and go to work. So that's just my plan. So one other thing that, yeah, I call it, people always ask me, Mike, you know, you've done a lot of stuff at Disney. Have you ever done four parks in one day? I'm like, yep, five times. They're called the marathons. That's the only, because there's no way I'm doing them on a regular day. You know, like I have the stamina to run a marathon, but I don't have the stamina to do four parks in one day. No, I don't have the patience. So kudos to everybody that does that. That's really cool. So now you guys go down, first time staying at Riverside. Obviously you've done research on it. You landed there. First of all, why'd you pick Riverside and what did you think when you arrived?
So settled first on the moderate category, seems like a good place for us price wise. Narrowed it down, for the first, for the trip for, either Riverside or French Quarter, because I kind of like those themings, and was talking with my boyfriend, I got the sense that he would too. We haven't gone to New Orleans yet, but he's someone who really wants to go to New Orleans. So, you know, kind of thought, you know, I know it's not the same thing, but kind of thought, you know, he's interested in New Orleans, he'd probably be excited about this theme. And then we did visit French Quarter while we were there, but picked Riverside between the two because, you know, I liked the two themes, like the body versus the mansions. And I also just honestly from research read that Riverside's more likely to get discounts mm-hmm. over French Quarter. I don't know if that's still the case, but at the time that's what I'd seen. So I thought, well, if we wanna potentially get a discount after booking early, might as well go with Riverside. And we can always visit French Quarter, which we did. So
it's a good tip. You know, and look at French Quarter, it's like New Orleans without the LSU fans. Just kidding. I know we have lots of LSU fans. I'm just playing with you guys because you guys are crazy, but I love you because you're in the SEC. Anyway, so tell us about your stay at Riverside because we'll hop into the parks and talk some dining kind of just in generalities. But what did it work out well? Did it meet your expectations? Was it what you thought?
Yes. Yeah, so we really loved Riverside. We kind of took advantage of both. We did the online check-in, but we'd wanted to be on like the mansion side. You know, nothing against the Bayou side, but just, you know, I guess personally, well, it's more me, to be honest. Like my boyfriend didn't have a preference per se. I was like, no, the mansions look fun.
My wife likes the mansions. I like the Alligator Bayou. It's more rustic, but that's kind of, you know, I think to me, I mean, I'm not trying to be gender kind of thing, but it's like kind of rustic, you know, like I can go wrestle an alligator down that end of the resort, you know, and the mansions are just pretty. They're really nice looking. They're sharp. I like both.
Yes, don't
get me
elegant.
Wrong. They're just
very
different.
Elegant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. And, you know, so we did online check-in, you know, very like, you know, easy. We did the Magical Express, which I love as much as you do. Couldn't imagine doing it without the Magical Express. You know, just even love the cheesy video.
Yes. It's
really fun. And we lucked out because, so like Riverside obviously is a large resort. But you know, I mean, a part of it is probably we live in New York City. So, you know, to us, a lot of walking doesn't feel that bad because we're kind of used to it. You know, like walking around the subways and such, but, we got lucky in that we were literally, you know, a 2-minute walk to, I believe, the second bus stop at Riverside. So that worked out perfectly where, you know, if I checked the app and saw that, oh, a bus to Magic Kingdom or wherever we're going is 5 minutes away, like we had time to get there, you know, with time to spare. So that was really nice. It was really nice to be, you know, second on, second off. And, you know, like the food court, we did see Yeehaw Bob. And yeah, I mean, there's really nothing we disliked about it, to be honest. Really loved, just like the layout and the combination of the quiet pool with the, I think Old Man's Island, what it's called, mm-hmm. the larger pool area, and loved having walkable, access to the awesome beignets at French Quarter.
Oh my gosh, you're so good. And they have a great breakfast sandwich on like some kind of a maple biscuit. Oh, both of them. And that's a sad, that's why I go down for run weekends because I get both. I shouldn't get both,
yeah.
But I do. And I do take
run
the beignets
eat,
back
right?
to the room. That's right. That's a good point. So, okay. So when you guys were down there, you stayed at Riverside, you were down in November, but you had to kind of overcome some challenges. We were talking before we started recording. Your boyfriend was kind of under the weather for part of the trip. You also were battling some rain during this trip. So talk to us about how those factors came into the overall trip and, you know, how did things work out? Because I think, you know, like you said, when you're planning the trip, in your mind's eye, it's always, you know, 72 and sunny every day you're there. You know, doesn't rain. Nobody gets sick. You know, everything's perfect. Nobody stubs a toe. And then when you get there, things happen. And it's kind of how you react to things. So what did you learn from having some challenges to overcome during this trip?
Well, so for the rain, it rained on our first park day, which was Hollywood Studios. I know a lot of people don't start in Hollywood Studios, but just kind of, you know, we're both film buffs, but also I think just, you know, again, with all the research and looking at crowd calendars, it just seemed to make sense. So that was the only day it rained, but it's still kind of like, oh no, it's our first day at the parks and it's raining. So, you know, we kind of just, you know, had our ponchos. I prefer umbrellas like Ricky, but the ponchos are easier to carry. So grab your ponchos, try to make the best of it, try to embrace things like Muppets 3D and some of the other indoor attractions. What was funny about that day was, so we left Hollywood Studios, ate a flying fish, and then we weren't sure if we were going to go back because he was sick and all that, but we realized that it's extra magic hours. Why don't we try to go back to Hollywood Studios? Because we didn't get to ride Slinky Dog and we wanted to try, but it was still raining. We're like, we don't even know if we're going to get on this ride, but we went back, we rushed the Slinky Dog. As soon as we got into line, the rain got much worse. So we're all standing in line like, oh my God, is they going to shut it down? Are they going to let us ride it? It's like one of those, Jeopardy almost. You almost hear the music of like, yeah, what's going to happen.
Yes.
And turns out, unfortunately, they had to make the call that the rain was too bad. So we were disappointed we did not get to ride Slinky Dog. But we rushed to the Aerosmith poster. So, I mean, it's just kind of funny, like you're outside, you're soaking rain. And then we got inside, got to be in the first row, and I'm more the roller coaster person than my boyfriend is. So I'm just like loving every second singing Aerosmith, and everyone else on the poster probably hates me, but it was really fun. It was fun to kind of have that rush of excitement. It kind of, might sound a little cheesy, but it feels like we're all in this together,
yep.
When it's raining. Cause your options are really, of course you can stay in the gift shop or somewhere like that, or you can just, race to a queue and hope for the best. And I mean, if it's an indoor ride, you probably will have better luck than we did waiting for Slinky Dog. But still worth trying.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because we were in line last summer for Slinky Dog, and it was one of those things that we didn't have Fast Pass. It was like our last chance to ride it. And we are waiting in the line, and it's inching. We're just standby, inching, and this huge storm is coming on. You can just see it out in the distance. Like, we saw the lightning dancing in the sky. It's one of those things, we know they're going to shut the ride down, but it's still going, and like, we're still inching up. I'm like, we're never going to make it. Like, we're going to be the person who is like at the gate, and they're going to turn this thing up. We made it. And then boom, like, we got back in the station, they closed it. We got so lucky. So we were on the other side of the thing. But yeah, I know exactly what you're thinking. Like, everybody's like, we're like encouraging the cast members, like, they have any call on it. Like, come on, let's hurry. Like, get everybody going so we can get through. We're so close. They don't care. There's 90 minutes of people behind us. But yeah, I remember that. And that's a great point, though, about everybody kind of being in the same boat when it's raining there. Because I think sometimes we think egocentrically, which we do because we worry about ourselves on a trip. But everybody down there had the same idea that it was going to be 72 and sunny, and everybody's vacations of a lifetime are getting rained on. So that's a good point. Maybe have some empathy and kind of bond together over a tough situation. I like that. Never thought about it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, him being sick, I mean, honestly, probably like to his credit, I feel like I almost forgot he was sick half the time, just because he really, like, by the end of the trip, Hollywood Studios, he was referring to as his favorite park. And, part of that could be, that's like his first park that he's ever seen at Disney World. But it's kind of interesting considering that's the day he probably was physically not feeling the best, like, overall. But that, and that it rained, and yet the fact that he still really loved that day, I think, says a lot about Disney. He got some good pixie dust, as we like to call it, that day, where, we were walking around the boardwalk area, and we went into a shop, and we were just talking to a cast member, and and then my boyfriend was also buying, I don't know, I think cough drops or something. So the cast member's like, oh, are you not feeling well? And hooked him up with a smoothie or a slushie, which helped his throat a lot. So that was, the cast members that, you go above and beyond, when they can, and definitely adds to the whole experience, I think.
Yeah, it's something small like that just means the world when you're not feeling well, too. It doesn't cost Disney a fortune to give a slush away, but it's something we're talking about over a year later. So, there's value in it, obviously. Another thing, too, you mentioned that day you went to Flying Fish. That's one of the few restaurants I've never been to because, again, My wife is not at all into seafood, and it's a fancier place, a signature restaurant. So you're in a place in New York with lots of fancy restaurants. You know, we have some in St. Louis, but not as many, obviously. So what were your thoughts on dining at Flying Fish?
So I love seafood, and my boyfriend also likes seafood. And so definitely what we were looking forward to. Heard good reviews about it. Really enjoyed the food and the atmosphere. You know, it's very like classy and upscale. Very convenient location, right by Hollywood Studios. I think compared to some of the other restaurants we went to, like Gico and Skipper Canteen comes to mind, it felt less, I guess, quote unquote, unique to Disney. Mm-hmm. And that was one of my my boyfriend's. His name's Frank, so I can stop referring. I can refer to him by his name. So that was one of his main takeaways, was that he really enjoyed the food, but that he felt like it was kind of a place that we could almost have in New York or any other major city. And he almost he ended the trip. His favorite restaurant was Gico, and those places that felt more unique to Disney. But the fish is was great, and I think it's definitely worth trying for anyone that likes fish. But I've also heard I don't eat steak personally, but I've heard that they make a really good steak too. So even if someone doesn't like seafood, I think it could be a good option.
I tell her that all the time, but I think it's the Flying Fish.
So I would tell her that.
Like if it was the Flying Cow, I think we could go. But it's the Flying Fish. So what can you do? But yeah, we're gonna get there someday. It's just not high on the list for her. It is for me because I love seafood. That's why I love going on a cruise, because all the meals are included. Like you can get whatever you want, and it's not like a big deal. But anyway, you bring up a good point though, that I'm kind of the same way with, I would rather stay at, say, a Pop Century than a Swan or a Dolphin, even though they have better location at the Swan and the Dolphin. They have bigger rooms. They have better beds. They have lots better amenities, honestly, at the Swan and Dolphin. They're nice rooms. I've stayed there. But it's not Disney. It's a hotel room that's very nice. And I'd love to stay at one of those kind of rooms at one of Mallory's cheer weekends anywhere around the country. Like, it would be awesome. I'd be so excited. But when I'm at Disney, it's kind of the same, like you said, with the dining. I'd rather be in a restaurant or a hotel that's themed. It's Disney. It's telling a story. It's got little, things you can discover. I think that's a good point there, that not only in your hotel, but in your dining, that can make a big deal. Like Gico, great example. I mean, there's so much to see, and it's such an authentic experience, not just a meal. It's an experience.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And the cast members there are, they were great at Flying Fish too, but because it's Gico's such a unique location, and Animal Kingdom Lodge is just amazing to visit itself, just that experience and how authentic it is, and just you really feel like you're learning about another culture there, which is really fun too, in addition to the fact that the food's great.
Oh, the food is so good. It tasted even better because Pam Forrester was buying when I was there that night. So there you go. It makes it taste even better.
Yeah. I need to get Pam Forrester to pay for my dinner next time with you.
That's right. When the boss is buying, everything tastes better. I'm just saying. So, no. Thank you, Pam. It was very good. And when you eat with Pam, you get all the appetizers for the table. It was awesome. It was like eating with Lentesta.
Nice. I love their bread service. I know Sanaa's bread service is more famous, but I do love Gico's bread service. It's really good.
I just remember the dessert looked like a little bird's nest. Did you get that thing? Yes. Did you see that? I didn't even know what it was.
Yes,
I was like, I have no idea what I'm eating, but this is good, and it looks like a bird nest. Nobody will believe me. I took a picture of, like, when I go home to tell my wife, what'd you have for dessert? I don't know. It looked like a bird's nest. It was like cotton candy. I don't know what it was. It was good. Anyway, that was fun. All right, so I want to make sure we get as much as we can. So give us some more highlights from, like, the theme parks. Like, what do you remember happening in the theme parks?
Talked about Hollywood Studios, with Magic Kingdom, just, I felt, just like I was a kid again, just remembered all the reasons why I absolutely love Magic Kingdom, why I love, Splash Mountain and everything down the People Mover. I'm a huge People Mover fan, but what kind of, one thing that was cool about the Magic Kingdom Day was, so when we saw Happily Ever After, and obviously first time seeing that show because it was Wishes back when I went last time, so it was great to see that, but also it was just great to maximize our time in the park after Happily Ever After, because once it ended there was about 40-45 minutes give or take, left in the park day. So we, you know, we rushed to Pirates, which we had not gotten onto early in the day. And then, you know, we were not too far from Big Thunder, so we went back on that. And what, I don't know if this is a tip per se, but just, I guess, something to remind people that, you know, the cast members will let you on even, you know, this minute right before closing. Like, we got in line for Splash Mountain at, like, 9:59 p.m., and the park was closing at 10 that day. They still let us on. We felt so cool. Like, yes, we got on right before. And, you know, so it's really maximizing your time, like, down to that last minute. But also, it is cool because, obviously, by the time, you know, the ride's over, the park's officially closed, and you're kind of walking out and seeing it closed down. And that's also a cool experience.
Yeah, you know what? You make a great point that the whole day can be kind of laid back and you're just discovering things. You're not trying to rush. But you're right. There's something about, and we go in the summer every year, and I feel this more on my summer trips where, you're right, after the fireworks, a lot of people leave. You know, they watch the fireworks. That's kind of the tendency for a lot of families. They just go down Main Street and they head out. And for some reason, I always tend to go to Tomorrowland after the fireworks. And there's like an urgency all of a sudden. You know, even if you were going slow all day and chill and all that, once those fireworks happen, from fireworks till close, there's like, I am running like a chicken with my head cut off. I'm like, okay, we're going to do Space Mountain. We're going to do the People Mover one time. We're going, oh, Buzz Lightyear's only 5 minutes. Boom, we're going in there. You know, and then, you know, we might go over to Seven Dwarves, you know, and kind of work our way out that way. But there's something about, it's almost like, I know it's not bonus time. It's part of the scheduled time. But after the fireworks till park closing, it reminds me of like being eight again. I don't know why, but that's like a time where it's just like super exciting. Like, how much can I get in here before the park closes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that was the time when, you know, right after we had, you know, rushed to get back onto Splash right at that 9:59, after we were, were on that, that's when, you know, Frank was like, wow, like, when are we going to come back here? I think like that was almost, I guess, the moment when you like really fell in love with Disney, you know, and just really enjoyed that kind of excitement. Cause I mean, I'm like you, I'm a morning person. I had us out the door and all that. So, but to have that kind of opposite, cause I'm not a night owl at all. But just to be up, you know, till closing and then a little beyond was really great.
Yeah. Same. All right. So give us one more memory, story, tip from this trip, and then I kind of want to look forward to your February trip here as we, you know, move into 2020, what you're having coming up in 2020, but kind of put the bow on this trip from November 2018 with your boyfriend. So what's like the memory you remember from this trip? Like, what, when you look back on it, what's the story of this trip?
Oh, such a good question with so many potential answers. So since I didn't talk about Animal Kingdom or Epcot yet, I'll probably take something from there. You know, Epcot, you know, I'm a big history buff. And I do like, you know, physically traveling to Europe, but it is really great to have that World's Fair experience right there. But something that I feel like Animal Kingdom probably gets talked about the least in general, or maybe I'm wrong, but I just think there's something really amazing about the feel of that park. It's really hard to describe, but it's just, I've heard a lot of people describe it as maybe the best like, themed park. And you really like feel that. And it's just something really, I guess, you know, Magic Kingdom is still my favorite park, and I love all the parks, honestly. It'd be really hard to rank them, but definitively, but Animal Kingdom, I don't know, like the Thule Canteen all the way to, I don't know, Meeting Timon, and, you know, getting to do Flight of Passage, just, I don't know, something really special about that park. And, you know, so I guess I'm trying to say that I know some people consider dropping it from the trip. I would kind of say, you know, try to make time for Animal Kingdom because very special park.
That's another great point, because I will tell you what, you know, we went, it was last summer or maybe a couple summers ago, where we were there for like eight or nine days at Walt Disney World, didn't go to Animal Kingdom once. And the thing is, and it's always my last park to decide to go to. I always go to Epcot, the studios, and Magic Kingdom well before I'll go to Animal Kingdom. But here's the thing. You made such good points, and you're exactly right. When I go to Animal Kingdom, I have a great time. I don't know why it is that in my mind's eye to get me motivated to go to the park, it's a challenge. You know, it's not one of the things that's it's top of mind. But when I get there, like you said, Satouli Canteen, that's my favorite counter service. And I love Flame Tree as well. My wife loves Yak and Yeti. I like Riding Dinosaur. I like Navi River Journey. You know, I love the Safari. There's great shows there. I love Festival of Lion King. There's so much to do there. And it's just in general, the park is themed so well. Just walking around, it's amazing. I mean, I'm singing its praises. I love going there. There's live entertainment. You know, it's a great place to be, yet I wonder how many people this is true of them. Like, when it comes to putting pen to paper, I don't want to pick Animal Kingdom for some reason, but then when I get there, I have a good time. It's weird. It's kind of strange.
Oh, yeah. I remembered you saying that, so that was definitely partly to try to convince you to make sure you get to Animal Kingdom next time. But, yeah, this is a great vibe, and the Festival of Lion Kings is incredible. I love it. It's such a good show. And, just the whole vibe there is really great. Epcot, you know, I love Epcot. And excited to see how it transforms. Hoping I get to go on Spaceship Earth again before it is closed for a while. But we'll see. A lot of things ahead with Disney as well.
Hey, at least they're not putting a roller coaster in there like the, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, that rumor. That scared me to death. Let's keep Spaceship Earth.
Oh, man. I would hang myself. I'd be like, no.
I said I would do that for Illuminations, and I didn't. So I can't. I have no cred left. It was going to be Henry Work and I. We're going to chain ourselves to the lagoon, but neither one quite made it. I was down there. I saw the last one, but I decided not to go to jail, and you know, my family appreciates that. So anyway, so let's look into February. Yeah, it's probably a good call. Yeah, it's not good for the podcast ratings going to jail. It's hard to do a podcast from a cell. So. You're going in February, so tell us about what your plans are for that trip.
So staying at Caribbean Beach for that trip, which, you know, we're excited about. I'm much more excited about the Skyliner than Frank is. I'm excited to try. Excited to have, like, that new form of transportation. I've heard good things about Caribbean Beach, you know, post... it's refurb. Almost said redesign, but refurb. Just really excited, you know, to finally see Galaxy's Edge. We'll also be down there for Flower and Garden. I've never gotten to see that before. And I thought they were doing this later, but it turns out that Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway is also going to be open for our trip. So had a moment of panic, like, oh my God, I got to figure out how to fit this in. So I'm going to try to do that too. But excited that there's all these, you know, major things to get to see that are brand new.
And that's the cool thing.
Not Flower and Garden, but new for me.
Well, I mean, Flower and Garden is just a great time to go because you have just so many more dining options. You know, not huge, like, meals, but all the awesome snacks, you know, that you can snack your way. It's just like it's a light food and wine festival around World Showcase and in Future World, too. And the weather in late February, early March is just, I hope I'm not cursing you. I'm saying mostly it's usually beautiful. You know, it's not humid. It's warm, but it's not hot and it's not as humid as it is later in the year. And, usually not a lot of rain. I'm totally, it'll rain the whole time. I apologize for saying that out loud, but it's a great time to be there. Just text me. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. There's a hurricane in February. It's never happened. No. It's one of those things. It's just, yeah, blame me, but it's such a great time to go. And like you said, I mean, there's an excitement about being there when something new opens, you know, so being there for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which I think because you have all these new things happening, you got Ratatouille, you got the Guardians of the Galaxy coaster, the whole Epcot redesign and everything. But this one, as much as it's, you know, and you had Galaxy's Edge, of course, at the studios, this one's kind of flown under the radar, but I think this one's going to be a sleeper hit and you're going to be there on day one to experience it. I think that'll be cool to be able to say, you know, hey, I was here when this opened. That's always a cool thing.
Oh yeah, definitely. And yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's, like 2.5D or something. I think they described it as the technology, and I think it's a great ride. Maybe I have my crystal ball. I'm saying it's a great ride, but it sounds like a great ride because it sounds like, you know, it's the new cartoon styles for Mickey and the gang, but you know, it'll, I think, appeal to like the classic park fans, you know. And it's kind of crazy to think that, you know, I'm pretty sure this is like Mickey's first like real ride, you know. It's not a fireworks show, and it's so weird, you know, to think that the Mouse himself, this is his first real, like, themed ride, I think. And yeah, I mean, I think it'll be great. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it's ironic because everybody that, you know, tells us, you're going to Disney again, aren't you? You're just going down there to ride the Mickey Mouse rides? Well, actually, really, there's not a Mickey Mouse ride.
Yeah.
then that'll get
actually,
you punched.
They're just building one, but shows.
No, they're all their friends. It's all their friends, all the rides. Mickey doesn't have his own yet. He will. But no, that's funny. Yeah. That'll be a great time to go. So we'll have to catch up after that race. So I thank you for carving out some time and coming on here on the show on a Monday. And I wish you a very safe New Year's Eve. And now, are you celebrating New Year's Eve in New York City?
Yes, but so I don't go into Times Square.
Come on. You got to go. I thought everybody does. Come on.
I avoid that like a plague.
So is it as bad as it looks? Yeah. Is it like you're from there? So is it as bad as it looks on TV? Like, I mean, I've been at Epcot on New Year's Eve, just wall to wall people the entire park. Like you're just not moving. But like when I see Times Square on TV, like that get and I don't get like jeeved out bad. But like I can't breathe. Like because they say you can't even go to the bathroom. No thanks. I can't imagine.
Oh yes. Definitely, from what I've heard, that bad. And honestly, like even when there's anything big in Times Square, because we both work in near Times Square. So, you know, when they're lighting the tree, you know, for Rockefeller Center, the Christmas tree, that area, it's hard to even get home, you know, because there's just so many people. And I also want to be like, hey, I live here. You know, get out of the way. Get out of the way.
All you families from Missouri, get out of my way. I totally get it. The closest I've ever been to New York City is I watch Blue Bloods. That's my favorite TV show. My favorite like drama lately. I've been binging Blue Bloods. So I think I want to, you know, be a Reagan and be a police commissioner in New York City, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. I'll get you up here one day.
Yeah. It'd be to 1PP or do a collar or whatever you call a bus. You know, that's all I know. So, no, I appreciate your time so very much. Happy New Year. Hope you have a great 2020. And we'll talk when you get back from that trip in February.
Yes. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And talk to you soon. Thanks, Mike.
All righty. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. They have the information you need or your friends to stay out of lines and have an awesome Disney or Universal vacation. They have separate plans for Walt Disney World, Disneyland, and Universal, and they can save you up to 4 hours in line each day of your vacation. Check out all the great services they offer over at touringplans.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link anytime you purchase things online. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You're getting all those Prime benefits, just like always. Costs you nothing extra, and every purchase does help support the show. So please bookmark it and use it often. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And don't forget, you can follow us on social media, Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. And of course, we're on Facebook as well, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, we'll be back again on Wednesday. It'll be the first show of 2020, so check the feed for that. Hopefully you're having a nice, relaxing week. But if you're at work, take us with you as well. Just stay safe and have a great New Year's Eve. So for Marlessa, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome end to your 2019 and a great Happy New Year. We'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.